The aim of Black Mental Matters is to tell experiences with honesty. Therefore, some discussions may trigger an adverse reaction. If a discussion is beginning to upset you, we advise that you please stop listening and talk to your support team.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode number 44 of Black Mental Matters. Vince the Voice here. I hope everything's good for you during this crazy time. I know it's a challenge, but try to keep your head on straight. Don't go crazy. Ooh-wee. It's difficult, I know. Who could stay locked in? And when you talk about locked in, who could stay, say, locked up? Especially for something that you didn't do. This here program is special today. I'm kind of going off on a different tangent as being a brother's keeper. Are we our brother's keeper? I say the answer is yes, but particularly when someone has wrongfully been accused for something that all indications are they did not do. It's a special program today. Thank you for joining us. It's Black Mental Matters. Black Mental Matters, and I have on the phone Mr. Markell Watkins. Hey, Markell, how you doing, man?
Hey, how you doing, Vince? Nice to be on the phone with you today, man, just to talk about some things that's going on.
Well, let everybody know, first of all, what is that, what they call it? A full disclosure, me and Mark go way back like Cadillac. We are actually family, and, you know, Mark, you do so much, man. First of all, I want to thank you, you know, back home in Gary. You have been involved with so many things, man, so many positive things over the years. I mean, concerts to fundraisers, you get bikes at Christmas, all kinds of good stuff, man. GI is in your blood, my brother. GI is in your blood and mine too, but you know, you're there and putting in the work, and I appreciate that, and I'm sure everyone else does too.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, man, coming from you, cuz.
Well, listen, now, you, this mission that you are on right now, and it is a right now kind of thing, let's set the table and let folks know what it is that you know, this passion that you have for Brother Christopher Bynum right now. Set the table. Tell him, what's the scenario, Mark?
Well, it's been so many different cases of wrongful convictions that have came out over the last few years. You know, you see it on TV and you hear about it, like on Netflix, the five kids that was convicted in New York and spent all their time in prison. And there was a wrongful conviction. And you see so many people that actually end up going to jail and prison and being in prisons for all these years, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. So what happened with Christopher Bynum was, this is somebody that's from my neighborhood, that family grew up with, went to school with, know his family. And when his sister Brian told me about it, I was like, wow, I couldn't really remember the case. So she wanted me to come to the hearing that they had. And when I went to the hearing and heard the case, man, it was just unbelievable. Evidence and everything that the state had against him was just so weak.
But like you say, it feels like you know, a movie, Just Mercy, or you say the Central Park Five. It was what, February of 2000, that Chris Cleveland, what they call Chris, was arrested for five counts of murder, and he was convicted on all these counts and was sentenced to 300 years in prison for the crimes that he was convicted of. Yet the thought for many is that he didn't even do the crime.
Exactly. And once I got into it and I started talking to people from that same neighborhood, we grew up in Edna, I just started reaching out to people, just asking people about it, if they remember it. And so many people were like, oh, yeah, I remember that happened. And they knew who did it and everything. You know, people were saying that, oh, yeah, he didn't do it. Even police officers I talked to that's still on the force right now that know him, know his family, and I won't mention any of their names, tell me they know he didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? They said, everybody know Chris didn't do that.
Wow. There is, you know, us being from here, and you still there, I mean, that was one of the things about GI is that you knew everybody just about. I mean, we knew the police chief, we knew the deputies, we knew the secretaries. I mean, it was a very, when you talk about Chocolate City, and quite a few folks, you know, I think the population may be in the 80,000s, but in its heyday, you know, over 100,000 people, but we all kind of knew you was one degree of separation from anyone. And when crime went down, whether it was a violent crime or anything, people knew what happened. So I can't even imagine being sentenced to 300 years in prison for something that I didn't do.
Exactly. And right now, you know, he's been in prison for 20 plus years.
Wow.
You know, the family's been fighting ever since. And not to take away, a lot of times when situations like this happen, we understand that the victims and the families of the victims are hurting about what happened, and they probably feel in some kind of way, like if he gets out, they feel some kind of way that their family member was murdered and this person is getting out of jail, but out of prison. But you got to understand that if he didn't do the crime, we still got somebody that's living their life. We never found the actual right person. So not only did the victims and their family lose someone, Chris Bynum's family lost him because he's been gone for 20 years. You know, his children didn't see him. He didn't get to see him grow up, and couldn't even go to his mom's funeral. So it's things that happen that you can't never get that back. 20 years of life just gone.
So have they, I mean, we're right now, they're in the midst of, so there's some proceedings going on right now, Markel. What exactly is taking place during this?
So I went to, they had a hearing in Crown Point in February. It was like 3 days. The state was there. They had their evidence. And then you had what happened is IUPUI Professor Watson got involved with the wrongful conviction clinic at IUPUI Indianapolis. Somehow someone sent the tape, a videotape of someone confessing, saying that they did the murders.
Wow.
And once IUPUI wrongful conviction clinic got involved, that's what got the everything back in play. They did DNA evidence. No DNA evidence of his was on anybody, and they ended up finding DNA evidence from a police officer's son on one of the bodies.
Mm.
So that's how everything got back. And when I went to the hearing, I just heard all the evidence, and I was like, man, I can't believe that someone is sitting in prison for 20 years with all this evidence saying that he didn't do it, you know. And that's when I started trying to get as many people as I can involved, from State Representative Hatcher, Senator Eddie Milton. I called Crusader, got them involved. They did a story on it. Right now we're working on a rainbow push, and Reverend Jesse Jackson putting a letter of support together. So it's just like my thing now is just trying to get everybody involved, because they'll make a ruling. August 14th is when they'll make a ruling on the case.
You mentioned, IUPUI Professor Fran Watson, and she got her students involved, the wrongful conviction clinic. And man, I mean, again, it feels like a movie. I get goosebumps over here just thinking about, you know, this whole scenario. And thank God that these people stepped forward. And you say there is an actual recording of someone who confessed to these murders.
Yeah. They said it's a video recording that someone sent. Mm. A video recording, I believe, that was sent to the wrongful conviction clinic in Indianapolis at IUPUI.
Mm.
So they have that, and they had the DNA evidence. It's just it's a lot. And even attorneys that I talked to when this happened said that they sat down with him, and they knew as soon as they sat down that he didn't do it.
He didn't do this. Mm.
Yeah.
You mentioned,
and the police, they said the police forced him. When I was at the trial, police forced him to, you know, say things that it wasn't true. You know, they didn't let him call his lawyer. They didn't let him make a phone call. Didn't give him no food or anything, or drink for 9-10 hours.
Threatened his family, I understand.
Yeah.
Had locked up his fiance and you know, mother
take
of his
kid.
Took his kid and then threatened that they were going to be locked up, and the baby was going to go into child services. And as you said, I mean, the evidence from the DNA says that it was actually a police officer's son's DNA that was found on one of the victims. And so, I mean, again, Mark, I want to flip the channel. You know, it's almost like, wow, I mean, these things actually do happen in life. But thank God for a brother like you. Now, you've gone the extra mile, because this, again, of course, you say you do the family. But to take on the mission to help get this brother some real justice, you have a petition going on right now. You see, you got the help of State Representative Hatcher, State Senator Melton, and all this. Talk about that process, man, of fighting the power, more or less, is what it's like, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it was like when I went, session was still in, so I was trying to get Senator Melton in. Reagan to come to the hearing, because after I went the first 2 days, I'm like, man, this is unbelievable. I got to try to get somebody to come. Reagan was able to come to one of the hearings, and when she heard what was going on, she was like, wow, she couldn't believe it. And her being a lawyer as well, and you know, her dad being a civil rights icon, Mayor Richard Gordon Hatcher.
Yes.
You know, it was just like, you know, she got involved, and that's when she talked to Reverend Jesse Jackson and Jonathan Jackson over at Rainbow Push, and gave them the information about what was going on, and they were definitely interested in helping, and we're still waiting on them to issue their letter of support. And it was just one thing after another. After I got involved, I just started trying to get as many people involved as I could.
And so, you know, we're taping this program now. There are some important dates that are coming up, and so let's talk about those dates. What is going on as far as the case is right now?
Well, right now it's they're going to make a ruling August 14th.
Okay.
And that will be letting you know, hey, the judge is going to rule, hey, if he should get out or not. You know what I'm saying? Based on the new evidence that was presented.
Wow. So yeah. August the 14th.
Yeah, August the 14th.
Okay. Well, that is, again, the reason, and I've been remiss. I mean, you've been really diligent about getting this message out and sending it to me, but actually, we want to, as much as possible out here in the world, for folks to do whatever they can, sign the petition, but also some thoughts and prayers for this brother that, again, innocent, 300-year sentence to. It's unimaginable.
Yeah, I couldn't even imagine it. And just with everything going on, we can't get people to stay in the house for 2 months.
Right.
And let alone think that I'm gone for 20 years away from my family. It's unbelievable. And I don't want to take for lightly the victim. You know, a lot of times in these cases, people think you don't really care about them. Hey, we sympathize with the families who lost their lives in this situation, and we are understanding of that, and we don't want people to think that we don't sympathize. We believe justice should be served, but it should be served the right way and not the wrong way.
Convicted in the murder of 5 people, crimes to which another man would later confess. The hearings that are going on, again, in the area there, the Gary Post Tribune, the Times of Northwest Indiana, all the way down to Indianapolis. It's documented. They questioned him for 9 hours. He confessed. They had refused to allow him to make a phone call, denied access to his attorney, threatened him with physical violence, threatened to arrest his fiancée, all these things. No food, no water. You know, when you see those scenarios like that in the movies, you say, wow, yeah, I'd have probably said something too. You know, I'd have said whatever they wanted to say. But this is true life, and it is exactly what took place.
And, you know, and then it's always got to be, you know, in our communities, it's this street cat. That you can't say nothing, don't snitch, and people knew, but no one would say nothing, you know, and it's all because, you know, and it's just certain issues that happen in our communities that, hey, if you say something, now you put yourself and your family in jeopardy for saying something. So even though people might have knew, hey, I ain't gonna say nothing, and they could do something to my family. So not only that, you know, people, I know people who personally told me they know the person who did it. But they wasn't going to say nothing.
And the witness that they did have, which was a 12-year-old, has already given a full recantation of their testimony, saying that the police coerced him into lying on Bynum.
Exactly. you know, and that's that rush to judgment. Like, hey, we gotta get somebody and put them in jail for this crime. We gotta do something. They had to just rush and do something. And like I said, a 12-year-old kid who said he heard his voice. That's just unimaginable.
So I see there's a website for those that want to learn more or to do whatever they can. They're trying to get as much media attention as can as before this ruling, as many signatures. The free ChristopherBynum.com, is that correct?
Yes. You can go there. You can see all the articles, the different evidence that was presented from the state and from the wrongful conviction clinic at IUPUI with Professor Watson.
So the actual petition, you have the support there, but I mean, did you put all this together, Mark? I mean, I put
the petition together. We got over 1,000 signatures so far on the petition in like a week and a half. We still going, you know, just trying to get as many people. So yeah, I put the petition together and I've just been pushing from there, man. Just calling and texting and emailing any and everybody I can, you know, and I know you all the way in Atlanta too. And I said, let me call Cuz because you do so much with the media as well. So I figured you would be a great outlet to do something as well.
Oh man, well it's it does. You know, it's so weird. I was telling my wife when we were first talking about this because you know, starting back in Gary with Gary Cable, the very first project that I worked on when I was like 20 years old there, Gary Cable, was to go to Michigan City, and it was a gentleman by the name of Edward Henderson who was wrongfully convicted of murder, and it was a project that the Miss Bandy, our manager, wanted, and so I walked, you know, went up to Michigan City. That was the first thing. I still got the tape. The first thing, and I was speechless. You know, when those doors close, they close, and I looked around, and it was quite an experience. And here we are, full circle today. Edward got out. He got out and came to work for the cable company. And I'm going to say it right now that Christopher's going to get out, man. Christopher's going to get out, and you know, the community is going to be better served, and hopefully now their thoughts as to who actually did this. We don't want to put it out there like that, or do we? I mean, is that person still out on the streets?
Well, I'm not going to say one way or another. I'm not sure. I'm not, you know, going to get into that, but we just know that they got the wrong person. And a lot of the law enforcement lawyers and different people in the community know that they got the wrong person.
Okay. All right. Well, Markel, man, we really appreciate you coming on the program, and I appreciate everything you do for GI. You know, again, Original Chocolate City, man. What and the C is, you know, working together. You don't have to do this. You could be doing a whole lot of other things, and I know Christopher is appreciative, and his family, and so are we, man. Because you know, in the Black community, we got to stick together, especially in a time like this.
Exactly, cuz. And I, like I said, I appreciate you taking the time out of the day, you know, and doing this, man. I know you're extremely busy too at this point with everything going on. So, like I said, we're going to keep on pushing, man, to try to get everything done we can for Chris.
Free Christopher Bynum. That's Christopher, and Bynum is spelled BYNUM.com. Look it up. FreeChristopherBynum.com. And we thank you again. This is Black Middle Matters. Have a great day, Mark.
All right, you too.